My message today is entitled, Healthy Spirituality Means Change. So it turns out that a lot of folks are fearful of change, both unexpected and expected change, which we actually need to experience in order to live life with greater freedom and happiness. Sort of like an acorn that has to die in order to be reborn into an oak tree. We are all in the midst of being transformed. Now, with that transformation, we can become more compassionate, more caring people who offer our unique gifts in the service of a larger whole. Change offers us the possibility of growing beyond our perceived limitations to the fullness of our divine potential. I remember my first year serving as a head minister. Actually, it was very early on in my first year as a lead minister. And as you have probably figured out by now, I hardly know how to give a talk and not do a little stepping on toes when I do it. I had been doing a little toe stepping on this one particular Sunday, frankly, even more on my own toes than anyone else's. And after the service, a church member, and I really don't remember which member at this point, came up to me after the service and said, I don't come to church to feel bad about myself. I come to church to feel good about myself. You know, while it's true that we don't like having our toes stepped on, I suspect that the person's complaint was way more about the fact that we don't like having to change. When we are told we have to, we likely will say, I don't come to church to feel bad about myself. That particular person on this particular Sunday walked off very quickly before I had any chance to respond. And if I had had a chance to respond, I probably would have said something like, now, I do understand that being asked to change can feel bad. But if we really want to get better, there's always change involved. Always change involved. And to grow spiritually is to get better. So we have to always be working to change, to be made to feel good about ourselves. But if I'm doing my job, if I'm helping us grow spiritually, that also means I have to ask us all to change. Now, I hope that we can all learn to not feel bad about being asked to change or having change happen to us. But instead, I hope that we can learn to be inspired by it. Right? Rather than hearing the call to improve not only our own lives, but the lives of others as well. Rather than hearing that as a stumbling block to living the life that we have, I hope that we can continue to hear it as a goal for living a more spiritual life. Now, in the life of the church, we'll soon be entering into a season we call Lent. And it's a time of reflection, a time of discernment, a time of sort of humbling ourselves. I hope that each of us, I hope that we'll take a little bit of time to think about the things that get in between ourselves and our spiritual growth. And I hope that one of the things that we might become more deeply aware of is our resistance to change and doing new things. We need to learn to let go of it so that we can grow. I tell you, let's try a little experiment together. Okay, what I want you to do, everyone take your hands out in front of you and then just put them together, interlacing the fingers. Just put them right together. Whatever feels natural, stick them right together. Now, pay attention to which pinky is on the bottom. Is it your right hand or your left hand? Now, making a mental note of that, which pinky is on the bottom, take your hands back apart. Now, this time, put the opposite pinky on the bottom. Notice what that feels like. You can take your hands apart now. The only thing different in your life in this experiment is the order of your fingers. Yet for most people, that new way of having your hands together feels awkward. Some people can actually only deal with this awkward feeling for a very short period of time before they have to kind of pull their hands apart and go, ooh, that felt kind of weird. Statistically, most spiritual religious growth regarding theology and our understanding of reality happens when tragedy forces us to reassess beliefs until that time have been comfortable for us, much like lacing the hands in a normal way. This is to say that most people do not willingly enter into the process to rethink how they view the world. It's only when the world seems to be turned on its head that change is needed. In other words, the change is often triggered when the cost of not changing is too high, or when reality no longer seems comfortable. I would guess that if you're like most people, you are comfy enough in your current spiritual religious state. But perhaps you are overdue for a change. Ask yourself these following questions with regard to your spiritual life. Do you have enough compassion? Are you mindful to a degree you find appropriate? Do you find meaning in your life? Are you angered for reasons that no longer make sense to you? Do you easily accept reality as it is and easily accept love? Now, ask yourself these questions. Are the benefits of changing compelling for you? Do you see that you could benefit from more compassion, less anger, more love? Are the benefits of not changing compelling? Is the comfy way you have of seeing and being in the world the thing you would have to give up if you made a change? Is that really worth holding on to? Are you so insistent on your right that you don't allow yourself to wonder otherwise? Are the costs of changing motivating enough? Do you suspect that if you continue to do things the way you are doing them, your spiritual life might stagnate or perhaps continue to stagnate? Might that ultimately result in being spiritually dissatisfied? Now, you know, the reality is most of us aren't totally satisfied with our lives. We do want change. So, when we hear that spirituality means change, we can see many things in our lives that we would actually like to have changed. And in particular, most of us would like to experience more good in our lives and practice more good in our lives. And many of us would like to expand our consciousness beyond the present narrow boundaries that we find, to enter into sort of a greater understanding. If that is so, why is it that we haven't seen greater change in ourselves for many, many years? Why do most of us sometimes even feel that there has been no change, no improvement? Perhaps we must discover and own the reality that while there definitely is one part of ourselves that wants to change, there's another part of ourselves that simply does not want to change, like in the hand exercise earlier. We've all tried to change things and been unable to do so. We all have things that we want to change. So we're sort of in a stalemate. The question then for me would be, well, what's the solution? And after a great deal of study, the experts seem to say it's one simple thing. Being willing to change. That seems like, you know, a pretty reasonable suggestion. However, If we're willing to change, then perhaps that implies that we will lose control of our lives. What did Jesus mean when he said, follow me? Well, part of that, what he was saying, was implying, it was this. I know the way. Trust me. Let go of your control of your life and put it in my hands. What did Krishna mean when he said, no one crosses samsara without taking refuge in me? What did he mean when he said to us to abandon all dharmas, all ideas of right and wrong, and take refuge in him? Krishna said, I will save you from all sins. Don't worry. I believe that what he was really trying to get at was that our ideas are keeping control of our lives is what's killing us spiritually. The way I see things, spirituality is no different than life itself. And life is change. Life is change. But like we've shown, there's something within us that doesn't usually like change. And in many ways, it's a sign that we are out of harmony with life itself. We are separated from the fullness of life, from the fullness of a spiritual life. You know, the word hell comes from an old English word meaning to be walled off from or separated from. If life is change, and we stubbornly don't want to change, that means hell. But if life is change and we are willing to change, that puts us in more harmony with life. And harmony actually comes from the same root word as heaven. So the difference between heaven and hell is whether we are in harmony with life. And life means change. So spirituality means having a deep willingness to change. Now, let's not make the mistake of thinking that this necessarily means some sort of monumental change. You know, in some ways, monumental changes are easy. We just have to get up our courage and go do it. What's difficult? What's difficult is day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, having an openness, a willingness to bring about little changes that ultimately add up to big change. Spirituality means change. It means moment by moment being willing to change what needs to be changed at this moment. You know, here at Church of the Covenant, we have made great strides already, and I couldn't be more proud or more humbled by those of you who have taken on change and further develop your understanding of spirituality as a result. I hope that we will see clearly the spiritual growth that comes from it. And instead of being bothered when we're asked to change, I hope that we'll continue to embrace it and to find out where it will take us next. Because I can tell you this, the Spirit's going to move. And I have a feeling that this year it's going to be moving a lot in Church of the Covenant.
Thanks, David. Change is part of life, and I do meditations and ask a lot of questions with the Book of Changes, the I Ching, which is a picture of the universe. And there are certain, according to the I Ching, there are 64 basic patterns of existence. So realizing what those are, sort of throwing some questions out and seeing what kind of pattern helps working with inevitable changes. A change has to happen. It can't help it. We are living in a universe of constant change. And I think what is challenging for people today is we live in time, a time of great chaos and change happening beyond our own consciousness. And I've found, and many other people have found, the best way to deal with that is coming from the center, the eye of the hurricane, going within the center and being detached from it, at the same time observing it, and then going back into it with a plan, with a purpose. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
Thanks for sharing that. Are there others who have thoughts that they'd like to share?
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate the information that you gave about control and spirituality. That's something that I definitely struggle with quite a bit. I've even gone through phases in my life where I would be praying and in tears and crying to the divine that if we would just do it my way, it would be so much better. And, you know, but I can't seem to convince spirit that my way is the right way. And I mean, I'm saying this and we're laughing, but I mean, I have literally been on the floor crying about this particular issue.
I think we're laughing because we can relate.
You know, it's definitely something that I personally need to hear again and again. You know, about trust and, you know, and relinquishing control and things of that nature. And it's just something that I struggle with quite a bit, but appreciate continuing to be reminded about it.
Thank you. Time for one more response, if anyone would like it.
Hi. Thank you, Susan, for that reading at the beginning about just what we're talking about. Come to my mind through meditation, through centering, through working or meditating with others, that if our souls were awake, we wouldn't have war, we wouldn't have hungry people. And the soul is a very, getting to know and befriending our soul is a very quiet, intimate, personal thing. And learning how to be with ourselves quietly, we come to hear our soul, which has a still small voice, very quiet, and then we know how to proceed out in the world. So here at Church of the Covenant, we have meditation on practice on Tuesdays at noon. This is a new thing for everyone's waking up to the importance of having a practice of finding our inner peace so that we can offer it to one another. And we see what power without love and wisdom does. We see that clearly. So in order to align power, wisdom, and love, we have to do that within ourselves.